Hello and welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Morneau. KRWG News is interviewing candidates who have announced that they are seeking the second congressional district seat in New Mexico. Joining us in studio is Matt Hildebrandt. She is seeking the second congressional district seat as a Democrat. Matt, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, I'd like to hear why you are seeking this seat, and if you could also share a little bit about yourself with our audience, please.
Yes, I am a veteran. I spent a couple of years in the Coast Guard, and when I got out, I used my GI Bill and a lot of student loans, and I went to school, and I got a bachelor's degree in history, and I really liked it. I continued going. I got a master's and then a PhD, all in U.S. history, and now I teach college classes online and at a college in New Jersey. But since my husband was still military, we traveled around a lot for the last 30 years. He spent 30 years in, so I put all my classes online so that I could continue to teach. And I did teach for a little while here in New Mexico at what was then Albuquerque TVI. It's now Central New Mexico. I've never really been a political player, so I'm kind of an outsider. The only actual politics that I really engaged in was at the local level, at the high schools and middle schools. I worked with the steering committees, that sort of thing. And then when John Kerry was running for president, I liked him, and we lived in Northern California, and there was nobody up there that was supporting him at that time, so I decided to organize for him as a volunteer, and then I was one of his delegates. So that's been what I've done, but I felt that I had to get involved when Donald Trump won the presidency and he started talking about the swamp and all of that, and yet he started draining the swamp. And then I was watching the people that he was putting in there that I felt were maybe still swamp-like. and then he started talking about sending people back across the border. So there is one event that actually made me decide that I was going to run. And I was in our local Walmart, and I was shopping, and this mother passed me with a shopping cart and a little girl that was maybe 3 or 4 in that cart. And the little girl suddenly just started crying and was just really looked upset, like I thought she had been pinched in the shopping cart, and so did the mother. And so the mother asked her what was wrong, and the little girl says to her mother, she says, "Mama, is mi abuelita going to be home when we get home?" And the mother says, "Of course she's gonna be, why wouldn't she be?" And this little girl says to her, she says, "Because she's from Mexico." And I knew at that minute that I had to do something, because no little girl, no little child that's 3 or 4 or even 15 should be thinking these things.
So is immigration a top issue and a reason why you are seeking this seat?
It is a top issue to begin with, yes, so that caused me to feel this way. And so for DACA and just for immigration in general, So DACA is a program that I am really supporting. DACA,
the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program that was implemented under the Obama administration.
Yes, and I think it's imperative that we keep our dreamers in our country and safe. That these children are, and some are, young adults, are going through our schools. A lot of them don't know that they aren't U.S. citizens until they go to get a driver's license or to go to college. And some of my best students are dreamers. And I feel that it's really important that these kids have a path to citizenship and not have this thought that they could be sent home. I cannot imagine sending a girl alone who's, 18 or 19 and send her to the country of her birth without parents, without anybody, just because she got picked up somewhere. I can't see that happen. And so what I want to do, one of the first things I want to do is put together a program, and I'm really watching what's happening now to see if we're going to
keep. Let's talk about what's happening now with this. Recently, the minority leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, Senator Chuck Schumer have announced that they have struck a deal with President Trump on DACA that includes an increase in border security. Now, this struck a chord with a lot of immigration advocate groups who are frustrated with the militarization of what they say is the militarization of border communities.
Right.
And I'd like to hear your thoughts on how you would address this issue if elected to this seat, and do you see a way that DACA can be saved and immigration reform can be saved without striking fear in immigrant communities?
What I would like to see is a semi-permeable borders on both sides, and I know this seems pretty far out there, but along the lines of the EU, where we can allow people who are working in whichever country to come across the borders. And you know, I spoke with a lady who runs a dairy, and she can't get enough workers to do her job, to fill the positions that she has. And I spoke with a man who is a landscaper, and this summer he was not able to get enough people to help him cut trees. So he had to break some contracts because he couldn't take care of that. Because people here in the United States so often don't want to do those jobs that are hard to do. And they need to be fulfilled by the people that want to fill those positions, and these people are coming across the border. And we do need to strengthen our Coast Guard. We need to strengthen Border Patrol. We need to keep those things because there are, you know, terrorists, there are people bringing drugs across the border. And so we do need to catch that. But we also have to allow people to come and go across the border in order to fill these jobs. And I don't see that there's a reason we can't do that, that we can't do both.
All right, I'd like to hear a little bit more about what you feel are some of the other top issues that are facing this district. It's such a large district here in District 2 in southern New Mexico.
Right, and one of those, I think, is education. And you know, education is the basis of our economy, of our entire way of life in this country. And when we're watching what's happening with the budget and the idea that we would be doing the vouchers and sending this money to private schools. Now, private schools are fine. You know, private schools serve a purpose. But what happens with these vouchers, and we can look in Michigan and see what has happened with the vouchers, is that it isn't making education better than it already is. And our public schools are important to our children and to our communities. And if we are taxing people and then putting these things into vouchers, and then the vouchers are being used to support schools, private schools that aren't in our local rural communities, and most of our state, our district is rural. So these people are still going to be paying, they're still going to be paying their taxes. And now this is going into a voucher, and the vouchers are going to these private schools, but the children who are still in those towns aren't going to have a private school. What private school is going to be building a school in a small community where you have 40 kids? But so what's going to happen to those children? The money is being pulled out of their schools. So those schools are going to be in danger, and those schools are going to close. And then those children, and this is the worst case scenario thing I've heard, is that these children are going to be taking their classes online because the school is going to be 100 miles away.
One of the things that I noticed on your website was that you say you are a different type of Democrat. What do you mean by that?
I am a veteran. I was Shore Patrol, which is an MP. And so I am a Second Amendment person. I have guns, and people in our district do have guns. And so I am not somebody that's going to say, we have to get rid of all guns. You know, there is going to be good legislation that somebody that has psychological issues, say, should not have access to guns. So that's where I'm seeing the line for me, because I don't intend to let anyone come and get my guns. So I'm not going to let anybody come and get anyone else's guns either, as long as I can do something about that.
All right, Matt, well, thank you very much for joining us on In Focus. I want to thank you for taking the time here and sharing a little bit about your candidacy.
Well, thank you very much.
And we want to thank you for joining us for In Focus. Remember, you can always keep up with us on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at KRWG. I'm Anthony Moreno. Thanks for joining us.